This is very quick. Robin was just saying about focusing, lifting our eyes. And this morning when I was in my room, I looked up in the sky and there was all these dark clouds and they were just going really quickly. And I just thought to myself, you know, when you're in a plane, you go through those clouds. It can be turbulent, but, you know, the clouds are dark around you. But as you go in, you go higher and higher and higher, and you just burst into this blue sky. You know, I could see the sun, but the clouds were you know, obscuring the sun. And I felt, wow, that's just like our lives, you know. You know, when we look away from God, the clouds are there. But as the plane goes higher and higher, then it just, all of a sudden, there's the blue sky. And you look down and the clouds are down below. And I just felt the Lord say, that's what I want you to look at me, not the circumstances, but look at me. You know, when you look at me, the clouds, they disappear. They disappear. And it's all about me. That's what all.
Thanks, Sandra. So when we go, we want blue skies, Sandra. When we play our notes and we go out there, we want blue skies. Amen. So today we're going to continue with Stronger, Better Together. We're doing a theme. We've started this theme. And I'm going to slightly change where we go next week before I go to Israel. But it's still on the same theme. So Stronger, Better Together. Now, do you remember when we started? We started with a guy called Nehemiah. Do you remember Nehemiah? Who remembers Nehemiah? Rebuilt the walls. He went to the people and he asked for three things. He said to them this: I need your time, I need your energy, and I need your finance. Can you say those three things? Time, energy, finance. And you know, I'm exactly the same today. I'm not ashamed to come to you and say to you, if we're going to build stronger, better together, we need time, energy, and finance. We need all those three things if we're going to be stronger than we've been before. If you're visiting us, we aren't happy just to stay what we've had in the past and stay where we were. This church is pushing forward to move forward. And we've asked, there's some big asks. We're asking you to get involved in lots of things. But, you know, if we do not have time, energy, and finance, we will not achieve being stronger, better together where we need to be. This year is pivotal for us. It's a pivotal year. It's a pivotal year for me. It's a pivotal year for you. It's a pivotal year for us. What we do this year matters. What we do this year counts. It makes the difference how we do things this year. I will come back to you and share those later on. I want to say as well that, you know, one of the things I love about Lord Jesus, well, there's loads of things, but one of the things I love about Jesus is that he never asks me or you to do anything he's not willing to do himself. Have you noticed that? Jesus in the signpost said, well, you do that and you do that and I'll just sit and watch. Anything Jesus asks us to do, he shows us by example. Anything God the Father asks us to do, he shows us by example. And I want to say to you that God isn't just generous towards us, and that's good news. He's extravagant towards us. Can you say the word extravagant? God showed extravagant love towards us. Do you know how we know? It's found in the Bible. It's always good to know, isn't it? So we know there's a scripture you will all quote. If I tell you this scripture, John 3:16, what does that say to us? Come on, for God. Great, I can sit down now. That verse tells us that God shows us extravagant love to us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. Yet he chooses to lavish his love upon us extravagantly. And what does he do? He gives us the best that he has. And what's the best he has? The Son. He gives us his Son. He shows us his character. He shows us who he is. He is generous towards us. Now, most of us don't deserve what we have because we're sinners, dirty rotten sinners. But we dirty rotten sinners saved by grace because he's extravagantly shown his love towards us. And if you don't know the love of Jesus today and his forgiveness, he's waiting for you to know it today. So I love the fact that God has redeemed us. He's made a way by giving us the best. And that's one of the reasons I love to follow Jesus, because of what he's done in my life and what I see him doing every day in people's lives. Now, the Bible tells us also that we were created in his image. Does your Bible tell you that? Yeah, we were created in his image. That means that God created us to behave like him, to be like him, to imitate him, to mimic him. So however God lives his life, however Jesus lives his life, what he wants us to do is do the same. Love your neighbours, love yourself, love others. Does that sound familiar? Cameraman, can you just turn around there? Loving God, loving others, loving ourselves. And you see, we don't live in a kingdom that this world kingdom is like. We live in a topsy-turvy kingdom. We live in a kingdom where actually the poor are rich, where the weak are poor. We live in a kingdom that Jesus teaches us that if we want to save our life, then we must lose our life. Thank you, Mike. You see, now we have been transferred from one citizenship to another. Do you know you have a heavenly passport? Do you know you have a heavenly passport? On it, it says, citizen of heaven. That's who you are today. You might be a British citizen or another citizen that's in this country. But do you know what we have in common? We have a heavenly passport. That's wonderful. But that means that we have to behave like citizens of heaven. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean to be a citizen of heaven? That we like Jesus. Am I making sense? If we want to be stronger, better together, we need to reflect to our Creator. And he is a generous, generous God to us. And you know, the thing is, our attitude to life is that our number one priority has to be Jesus. He has to be numero uno, in Spanish, number one in our life. The problem is with the kingdom of this world, it works on a different principle. The kingdom of the world is that Jesus doesn't have first place. He has a second or third or somewhere down the list. Because in the kingdom that we live in, the voices that tell us is that you must have this, you must do that. It doesn't matter what you do to other people, as long as you're okay, it doesn't matter. The kingdom of this world says, if you have it, spend it, it's yours. The kingdom of God says, if you have it, it's been given by God to you, for you, and for you to use what God has given you wisely. Because everything belongs to God, and we are just good stewards of that. Somebody said this, and he must have said it a long time ago, that we worship God just as much with our checkbooks as we do with our hymn books. Do you know what that means? So worship isn't just about singing on a Sunday. Some of you don't know what checkbooks are, do you? Some of you younger people. Some of you don't know what hymn books are either, do you? Good old redemption hymnal. I was brought on that. You know, we worship God. We've just done worship, haven't we? That's what worship's about. No, worship is a lifestyle where everything belongs to God. And we worship him as much as what we have and what we give and what we do with what we have as much as we sing. So the Apostle Paul says this. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also weep generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? What does God love? Does anybody know what that is in the Greek? Cheerful? We're going to find out. But before we do, the Apostle Paul, we all know who the Apostle Paul is, don't we? Went round to different churches, planted churches, went round to all the believers. And there was a time in Jerusalem where the Jerusalem believers were starving. They had no food. And Paul says, as he goes around to the different churches, different places, he said, look, I want to take a special collection for them. I want to help your brothers and sisters in another part of the world who are really struggling. And then he comes to the Macedonian church. Now, Macedonians were the most persecuted of all parts of the Roman Empire, the believers were the worst persecuted. Wasn't in Jerusalem, although the persecution was bad. In Macedonia, it was bad. Maybe like Ukraine, Syria. Okay. But Paul talks about this Macedonian church, and this is why he talks about them, because they set up a model for giving that 2,000 years later the church does, and we give to missions. They were poor. And they come to Paul, and they actually beg him, please let us give to the people in Jerusalem. We haven't got much, but what we have is we want to give to bless brothers and sisters. We don't even know who they are. We probably will never see them. But we want to do something to bless them. And you know, their generosity came from the spiritual wealth that they have with their relationship with Jesus. Jesus was number one in their life. And because of it, they have this spiritual wealth. You know, they might not have much, but inside they're rich. And you know, we're so rich, aren't we? We have so much. This whole relationship with God is so wonderful. And there was this abundance that came from this spiritual relationship with Jesus, with the Father, where they wanted to give. And so Paul said to about the Macedonians that they were pleased to give, and God loves a cheerful giver. So in the Greek, cheerful means hilarious. Ho-ho! Giving the money, and they're so happy. They haven't got much, but they come to Paul and they're giving him money. I'm probably exaggerating a little bit, but the word is hilarious. Be a hilarious giver. Are you hilarious? You can laugh. See, sometimes when the collection bag comes around, we go, oh God, not again. And I'll get some change out of my pocket and I'll see what I've got. I don't really want to give, but you know, I think I will. Because if the person next to me sees I don't, they're going to think very much of me. They give out of they don't give out of a cheerful heart. Oh, I've got to do it. But as Christians, our attitude should be different, giving back to God. And we'll look at some scriptures very quickly, hopefully today, about that. You see, giving, like the Macedonians, has no regrets. When we give to God, we don't go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd not honoured God like that. It doesn't come with any reasoning, but it comes from this relationship with God. In Psalm 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Do you know that? Everything belongs to God. Do you know that? Everything you have belongs to God. Alert, alert, alert. It's not yours. But I've worked hard. I've worked hard for what I have. You have? Well done. Congratulations. Still belongs to God. Everything. We're called to be good stewards of what God gives us. Well, I've worked all those hours, and yeah, but God has given you the ability. You see, everything we have, God gives us the ability to have. He gives us the strength to do it. He gives us the wisdom to do it. He gives us the knowledge to do it. He gives us the skills to do it. So absolutely everything belongs to God. And so the Macedonians, what they saw was, we're just stewards of what God's given us, and we want to do the best we can with what God has given us. And that is so important for us to learn. You see, money is not our possession, it's God's possession. We hold it in trust. And in his wisdom, God chooses who gets what and who earns what. We think it's about us. But God looks at our heart and he goes, I can trust this person with so much because I know they'll use it wisely. And until we learn to use what God has given us wisely, he may choose not to give us more. Because we've got to learn that we're good stewards of what God has given us. And we'll look at that a little bit later to help us. We have to manage the portion that God has allocated to us. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus teaches us that the giver will enjoy the greater blessing. Do you know, it's interesting that Jesus talked more about money and finances, they needed about sexual immorality in the church or about sex. Talks more about money, finance, because it becomes more of a god. Do you know he even talks more about money and finances than he does about hell in the Bible? If you don't believe me, study for yourself. Look up all the scriptures. See, God knows that quite often the last thing that someone wants to give up when they follow Jesus is their wallet. You can have all of me, Jesus, but not my wallet. My bank balance. Because I've worked hard for that and I deserve it. See, giving for a Christian is meant to be sacrificial. How do I know that? Because Jesus, God the Father, gave his son to die on a cross. Now, was that not sacrifice? That's a great sacrifice. Giving is meant to be sacrificial. It's meant to hurt. It's meant to be painful, actually. It's meant to impact our lifestyle. And so being a good manager or a steward is giving back to God what he has entrusted us with. Let me just say, God doesn't need our money. It's not like, oh, hang on, I'm a bit short this week. I'll go to Oasis because they're great people. Just need a bit more cash. He doesn't need our money. He needs our heart. He needs that relationship to be right with us. Rather, giving is about our dependence on him. And what it does, it confirms as we give that, God, you're number one in my life. You're going to stay number one in my life. And you're the most important thing in my life today. And I'm totally and utterly dependent on you for everything I have, for the ability to work, for the ability to provide for my family. I'm utterly dependent on you for absolutely everything. And I'm going to show this, God, because I want to give back to you what belongs to you. And I want to honour you. And that's part of what we do. Some people say, well, tithing's Old Testament, isn't it? We live by grace now. Well, let's look at tithing. The first time tithing is mentioned in the Bible is Abraham goes and rescues Lot from the enemy. He has a fight, takes them on, wins the fight, takes all their spoils, and he comes to a man called Melchizedek. And he says to Melchizedek, Melchizedek, I want to give you 10% of what I've got. Now, I'm not saying you should go and kill people, steal from people and give 10% to the church. Please don't do that. But even before the law was given in the Old Testament, people say it's legalism. Old Testament's legalism, isn't it? Of course it is. We live in the New Testament. No. This happened even before the law was given. But if we do look at the law in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of laws that God gives us. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. And there is punishment for those things if we do them. So please do not. But there is one commandment that God gives, only one, in all the commandments where there is no punishment. But there are consequences. Do you know what that is? Giving back to God. God will not punish us if we do not give back to God what belongs to him. However, there are consequences if we don't honour God and obey him when he asks us to do things in our life. We're going to look at obedience in our series coming up. So, I want to make this statement that tithing has been and will always be a voluntary act on God's part, on people's part to God. It's a voluntary act. You spend time with God, you agree with God what you want to do, and you do it. It's a voluntary act. So I'm not telling you, you must tithe. And I'm not telling you, you must tithe to this church. What I am saying is, if you want God to withhold his blessing in your life, then don't tithe. And I'll tell you why. Who believes the Old Testament is still relevant for us today? Do you know, I'm studying and finding the Hebrew and finding words I never even knew existed. And I'm thinking, God, I didn't know that. I've been a Christian since Noah. And I'm now reading Hebrew and I'm going, oh my goodness me, I didn't get it. This is what it says in Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Who wants the windows of heaven to be open? I'm not talking about rain now. Who wants God's blessing I tell you what, I covet it now more than ever. I was here early this morning, just sitting, praying, saying, oh God, would you bless us? Some of you are still in bed. And pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. Do you know what? I want that. Do you want that? We all want revival. We say we want revival, but unless we're willing to do our part, why should God do his? So what does that tell us? That giving back to God belongs, is important to us, and we need to understand it. In the New Testament, the storehouse is the local church. It's the place where we taught. It's the place where we cared from. You bring your tithes into the local storehouse. You can bring your offerings and give your offerings wherever you like, but you bring your tithes into the storehouse. That's what the Bible tells us. Again, it's your choice. It's a voluntary act. Paul says this, if you're part of a local church, you should support the ministry and you should support the church financially. If we want to be wise in handling our finances, we must seek the wisdom of God. So when we're talking about all things in our life, and one of them is finances, we hopefully, husband and wives, you'll sit down and you'll talk about your finances together. Some of you may have an unsaved husband or wife and you need to work through this together. If you're on your own, then probably you make the choices yourself. But you're talking to God, you're praying, you're asking God what he wants you to do. Is really important. But the people of Israel, you know, they stopped bringing their tithes into the storehouse. God was relegated from number one somewhere down the list. They'd give money to pagans and for pagan worship, but they stopped bringing the tithes into the storehouse. And God says something to them, very important, which we'll look about in a minute. And you know what happens is when we take our eyes off Jesus and when he doesn't become number one anymore and when everything else and the world's system and the world's idea of how we live becomes our priority in our life, what happens is people come into bondage. Do you know that? We come into bondage in the world. Does that make sense? Are you listening? Once we take our eyes off Jesus and we allow the world to dictate what happens in our life, we become in bondage to them. We think we're free. No, we're not. The only time we're free is when we follow Jesus and we surrender our life to him completely. That's the only time we're free. Free to be ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work he has built on it, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I mean, to say to you, if you don't tithe and give back to God, you'll still get into heaven. Okay. God doesn't go, let me just look at the bank account before you come in. Let me see what you gave. No, you'll get into heaven. Once you give your life to Jesus, you are saved. That's good news, isn't it? However, we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. Is that right? This world is very short. And God will take everything we do in our life, absolutely everything we do, including our giving, and it will be tested by fire. And if it's burnt up, there's no reward. He rewards what's left. So in our life, what we do by serving him will be tested. And what is left after the fire, God will reward from. And I'll say to you one thing. You can never outgive God. Never outgive him. As much as you might want to, you never can. So, because of time, I'm going to jump through. I'm going to send all the notes out so you can have them. But living under grace, the New Testament, does not give us license to do nothing. If we think it does, look again. In fact, if you look in the New Testament standard is always higher than the Old Testament standard. Some of you would wish to live in the Old Testament than the New Testament. in some ways. The New Testament is, God says, 100% please, not 10%. I want 100% of what you have. The disciples came and laid at the apostles' feet everything. They sold everything they have and gave it to them. So if you think, well, okay, we're living under New Testament, that's what New Testament says. What would you rather have, Old Testament, New Testament? 10% or 100%? It's up to you. Tithing is voluntary between you and God. You see, I believe, and you can disagree with me, and I'm quite happy for you to disagree with me, that when I'm giving back to God, I need to give to him what belongs to him first. And I always have done that. In fact, as a child, I was very blessed to be brought up in a Christian family. I used to have 10 pence pocket money. Whoa. Remember those bubble gums you used to get for 2 for a penny? Oh, great. And do you know what I did on a Sunday? Put a penny in the collection. Because my mom taught me from a child, give back to God what belongs to you. I'll never look back. So for me personally, it's my testimony. God gets 10% and more. I won't tell you actually how much I tithe. But 10% is my very minimum. And it's of my gross, not my net. Some people say, well, is it the gross or the net? It's up to you. You make a decision. But for me, I tithe on my gross and more. Because I want to say to God, I depend on you for everything. And I just want to give this back to you. But actually, the New Testament says you should give God everything and just live off what you need. It's the other way around. Proverbs 3:9-6 says this, honour the Lord with all your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Who wants lots of wine? Vats overflowing with wine. Should be grateful, shouldn't you? You know what the grape said when the elephant trod on it, don't you? Nothing, just gave a little wine. So, do you want your barns to be filled with plenty? Do you want your vats to overflow with wine? We have an Old Testament scripture which is really important. Sorry if you're new, you have to put up with that. It's God gave me this warped sense of humour. Just me and Kate. Kate's on the AV. And there was just two left. Gave it to us. But God says these words, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And they say, how have we robbed you? God replies, in tithes and offerings, you haven't honoured me with what I've given you. You've robbed me. You see, I don't think God has changed his mind in the New Testament. I don't think he has. Again, you can disagree with me. Please feel free to disagree with me. If you want to debate it or discuss it, I'm fine. I'm just telling you what I believe is right. Some people, and I've known some people like this, they have a spiritual gift of giving. They just give and give. My mum was like that. I used to hate Christmas. Do you know why? Because you go shopping for everybody. And I'd have to help her do the shopping and then go to different people's houses to deliver it. And I'm a little kid and I'm thinking, oh, come on, mum. Some people are like that. They have this spiritual gift and they live very prudent lives. They count every penny because they want to give it away and bless other people. And some people have a ministry, and some of you in here are like that. And I know some of you have helped people that nobody else has seen. And I want to thank you for the way you've done that. And nobody else needs to see apart from God. He sees your heart. So, part of being stronger, better together is giving cheerfully and generously. Will you be a hilarious giver? Will you spend time with God and seek his face and say, God, what are you asking me and saying of me today in my life? Now, I'm not asking you to do this because I want your money. Okay? I don't want your money. What I want you to do is to honour God and to receive his blessing. But I'm going to say a warning. Some of you may not have been Christians for very long. In fact, we've got a number of people that have not been Christians for long. Great to see your kids. So blessed to have you today. There is a prosperity gospel that you will see on the telly. Okay? We do not teach that here. If you're a new Christian, you watch the telly, some people will turn up and say, if you give God £100, he'll give you £700 back. Can I just say, this is a warning alert. I don't believe that's God. Do you know why? Because they want the money for themselves. All right? So if you want to give, look at what you're giving to. Be wise. Don't just give because you think, oh gosh, I ought to do that. Give because you've spoken to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit says, that's what I want you to do. But if you have this prosperity gospel and you think God will do it, you know, there was a lady, I've got to finish, Luma worship team, I've got to finish now because of the time. I don't want to keep you much longer. But there was a lady that came to this church and somebody said, oh, you should watch this channel on the telly, it's great. And I'm going, no, please don't. It's, they've been with us for a long time, you know. And she watched this, and the guy said, if you send me £1,000, you'll have a check through your door. And they were already in a lot of debt. So she sent £1,000 to them. And guess what? No check came through the door. And guess who she blamed? God. And guess where she is now? She's not in church. Because she listened to the wrong voice. Do you remember I said at the start of the service, whose voice are you listening to? Don't listen to mine. Please don't. Okay, I'll get... Is that right, Est? Do you mean more than occasionally? I get things wrong sometimes. Listen to his voice. So do we want to be stronger, better together? It takes time, it takes energy, and it takes finances. Some of you are starting married life or thinking about married life, or you're single and you're starting to think about what I want to do with God. Put him first in everything and he will bless you. Thank you, church, for listening. I know some of you are keeping you awake, Mark.